Guess what decision we're about to make.
Horrible decision.
We bike at it again, y'all. Welcome to another episode of Horrible Decision.
Hey, y'all.
It's your girl, Mandy B, a.k.a. Paid the Stallion, a.k.a. Full Court Pumps, a.k.a. Dead Beach.
I'm Weezy, and we are in L.A. We just are on the back, what do you say, on the heels of the ABN Awards. We were nominated for Best Podcast. We didn't win it, but if you saw us, clearly we looked like winners.
Hello.
And wanted y'all to know, if you live in London, on May 5th, we're going to be there at the Earth Theater. It's our rescheduled Climax Tour date.
That's right.
Go and see us. It's a brand new show.
So make sure you go on over to whorehive.com to get your tickets for London. And I guess I figured we would just start with a little bit of catch up of where we're at in our love lives and things. If you guys are on Patreon, Weezy came to Vegas with her little boo thing. And
we all had fun together.
I realized that not only is this healing journey and therapy making it hard for me to motherfucking date, you know what else I realized? Mm. My friends being so fucking awesome is also like, so hear me out. We were at dinner and what I keep saying I want is I would love a partner who's able to hop on a plane and meet me in some of the cities because I'm touring with Tonight's Conversations. I'm on tour till June. We just did the ABN in Vegas. I'm here in LA for work. I would love a partner who could like pull up on me. I love hotel sex. I've been saying it.
Yeah.
So I would like someone to just be able to travel and be around and kind of support me in the things that I do business-wise. And I realize where people are like, well, that's a lot to ask. My friends do it.
I don't think asking someone to show up for you is a lot to
ask. Well, no. It's a lot to ask for if, hear me out, for a man with a regular job, my life is not regular. So if I meet someone who's not a celebrity or even, y'all know I'd be dating ball players and the guys that I fuck with, it's a lot to ask for because people have their own lives. However, my friends have also found a way to pull up on me in any city. They're actually asking me, bitch, send me your tour dates. Which ones can I come to? And so having like friends that are wanting to be a part of this with me and wanting to travel and make plans and create experiences, I realize this is something I want from a partner. And it's something I haven't been able to get. It's something that with the type of men I like to date, they don't have the time to do. So it's like, damn, I don't know if, I guess I'm just to a place where I'm starting to think that the things that I want are going to be hard to come by. But also I'm finding so much happiness in my friendships that I'm just like, and what I need a nigga for?
Girl, I feel like I've been happy with my friends for a long time. You have too. We've always had great friends that we travel and do shit with. That shit do not keep me from looking for nickels.
I don't know. But it is for me right now.
But
I don't know.
But I mean, I think that maybe because you've gotten to fill your schedule with dates with friends, vacations with friends, that's probably it, right? Like being able to have something on a docket to where you get to have a new experience. And yes, I did bring him. Last year, you brought your boo.
I brought my ex last year.
And so yeah. I didn't get to spend time with him, but it was cool. I actually enjoyed all of us hanging out together. And I recently had a conversation with name drop time. So, Questlove, who is in his 50s and, you know, has been famous his whole life. Obviously, I'm not Roots level famous, but he went to dinner with him, with me. And he said something to me that I really appreciated. He's like, yo, it's really nice to see you with a very confident and secure guy because, like, you know, being a plus one is not everybody's security.
Nope.
You know what I mean?
It like, wasn't for my ex. So
he said, a man being a plus one to a woman like you, like, it's good to see that he's just like, and it's funny because he called him a civilian to his face. He's like, you know, when we date civilians,
that is hilarious. But also military people use civilians.
I know.
So, but that's funny to say.
But it was funny to hear him say it. And I remember we got in the car. He was like, I don't think I've ever had somebody call me a civilian, but
that's funny.
Yo, I mean, what you just said though about time, he is an investor. So it's like, he dictates his own schedule, but yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, even though I think the B. Simone clip, we jumped up her ass and I was one of those people. I didn't do it online because I fuck with B. Simone. But I remember being like, why would she say that? But I kind of, if she meant the flexibility and an entrepreneurial thing, I do understand that because it's been helpful.
It's the flexibility.
My
for
ex
sure.
did have a 9-to-5 though, but he just was more up the chain to where he could be remote. But yeah, I mean, it's super important when you want to travel with the person you're dating, but it was fun. Like, and he's been around too for our shows. So I do like that I can bring him to work events and he fits.
I mean, I like I think that that's a great thing to have, especially like in this space. I remember when I did Revolt Summit, and he joined me down there.
Mm-hmm.
And literally it became an argument, in air quotes, that literally as soon as we got back, because I realized just how comfortable he was in spaces where men made more money than him. He was jealous of, or I don't even want to say jealous, but he was uncomfortable and showed insecurity around Young Berg, Hitmaker, who's been my friend since I was fucking 18. Sorry, name drop time, I guess. And then, oddly enough, yo, I made the joke that he was jealous of, and he admitted to being jealous of Asante. He was insecure around Jason Lee. And I was like, what is up with you being intimidated or insecure around these men who are gay? I don't understand.
Girl, I'm starting to think it was money.
No,
because handsome people.
No, for like, sure, it was a money thing. Like he was very handsome, but even making the money he made in retirement was not close at all to like being around celebrities. It's not the same. It's not comparable. I don't care if a man makes $100,000. If you bring him around niggas who make millions, there's an insecurity.
A millionaire might feel uncomfortable around niggas that make more millions.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, we did talk about it too, because while we were at the AVNs. There were moments where I went to the bathroom, he was with Mandy, or we were separated, and I was getting a nigga's number or their Instagram, I can't remember, because I wanted to interview him. I remember one guy was Alfonso Lays. I saw four.
I know, he DM'd me, and he was like, I didn't see him.
But I there was a few people I was like, oh, I'd love to have you on Horrible, and there wasn't, I don't know, he's very secure in like who he is, but I also think that we're having a lot of dialogue about respect, which I think anybody listening, obviously Mandy are talking about industry shit, so I don't want to make you feel left out. But I do think that there's conversations about respect that I've never had that people need to have, because my exit made me feel very uncomfortable. I remember taking him to Andrew Schultz's show at Town Hall, and Akash's wife, who's beautiful, we had her on. He was like talking to her a little too long and like flirting with her. And I remember Alex, and that's, did I ever tell the story?
No, I don't think you.
Okay. Well, I probably didn't tell it at the time because it was a lot, you know what I'm saying? And it was kind of embarrassing, but fuck that nigga. So, took him to Town Hall show.
Was flirting with another man's girlfriend? Oh, yeah. What's the tea?
So, took him to the Town Hall show, which is so crazy, theater, because such a big deal for Andrew. And I texted Andrew the day we did our show. I was like, man, I remember being here. And you were excited to be at the Town Hall Theater. And now I'm
now
doing
he's sold
it.
Out, but now he's sold out.
Madison arenas, Garden, MSG, multiple dates. Like
MSG is coming next for us too.
So basically, he gets there, he gets lit. Now my ex was a very friendly and fun nigga. Mm. So I was just very confused on how to, you don't want to make someone who's extroverted feel stifled.
Right.
Because men have probably done that to you just like
absolutely.
And I felt
they
that
have.
Too.
They have.
So we get to the after party for Andrew's show, and Akash's wife is there, and he's flirting with her. And Alex literally was like, bro, do you see this nigga?
How do you determine?
Flirt.
Flirt over just having a friendly conversation.
Talking about their beauty to them.
Okay.
How beautiful she was. Asking what she likes to do for fun on the weekend or something. I mean, maybe not that, but there was something about, I guess, his attractiveness towards her or leaning into her or whatever that made her uncomfortable to the point where she said something. And how embarrassing for me. I don't know if she directly said something or someone else did that. People are like, who's this dude? And of course he's not. This is Andrew's section.
Right.
Who's this dude? And then you got to say, is Weezy's man? How fucking embarrassing. And what's even more embarrassing is the first time I heard I love you from my ex was that night. I walked out of the bar. Was it floor room or something in New York? Or I don't know what it's called, but anyway. Basically, I left and I was like, you're disrespectful. You're an embarrassment to me. And it's clear that like this isn't going to work. And he was like, yo, you just made me feel so comfortable. Be free and open. I'm so sorry. I love you. And so it was so manipulative. Mm-hmm. Right.
Because you were upset in the moment. But then also,
I get to hear that.
That. And now he's using.
And the caveat. Right. And I realized like, oh, like some niggas really just have it or they don't. Mandy and I went to the bathroom and my dread nigga was talking to one of her friends. So the next day we were talking about, you know, you talk about the night. And I was like, who do you think was the cutest? And he was like, oh, I thought, and it was the girl he was talking to. I don't know her name. Not Stacey, not B.
Oh, Melanie.
He was like, yeah, she's really beautiful. And you know, everybody has a type. And so I was like, you know, I have to say this to you. I agree. Like, I knew that was probably your type, right? Brown skin, whatever, very like natural looking. And I said, I really don't feel like you will disrespect me. I hope I'm not going to embarrass myself one day, but I'm so impressed by how easy it is to turn my back. And I haven't felt that in a long time. And we've had so much conversation about that, you know, like what would make me feel insecure, what I don't like, how far you can go. And I need to do that in every relationship. And I think you and I are learning to do that with each other too. Mm-hmm. Hey, I need you to let me do this or do that. Or I don't like when you talk to me like this. This across the board needs to be a thing. I need to tell people how I feel respected. And you used that word with me in a text the other day. And I was like, oh, I didn't know you felt disrespected by this small thing. And you probably knew I didn't know I was doing that.
Yeah.
But using words like that really makes an impact.
Because girl, I brought that text message up in therapy. I was like, can you believe how well, like, it was just sitting with me and we had four episodes.
Wait, let's read it. Let's read it.
Okay. Dang, not us telling y'all tea on a regular episode.
Hold on. I'll read your text to me and you read mine back.
Okay, because
So Mandy texted me, I wanted to have a guest on that I thought was kind of whack, but she looked.
Hold on, let me go back.
I know, damn, we were texting.
We've been texting a lot.
Oh, I found it.
Ain't y'all proud?
So I found this guest who was on Botched. And I was like, damn, I kind of want to bring her on, but she's going to be boring after 20 minutes. Mandy's like,
Wait, no, this came after you talking about the escape room.
No, I know.
Oh, okay.
So Mandy said, my ears hurt. This is why she don't be talking.
Oh.
So I said, you know, I'm not in the mood to try it this week, but I'd be down to have guests on for just 30 minutes. Maybe we just invite them to sit with us for the horrible decision. It could be cool. And maybe we end the whole meal alone. She says to me, I'd really like to go by our outlines this week. I spent a lot of time working on them and the free flow we've done in the past doesn't work for me in the past four episodes. It literally spins my brain and I'd like for my time to be respected. I would also love your outlines sooner so I can add to them and be better prepared for guests.
And Weezy's response was, I understand. I'm not sure how you feel disrespected on time exactly, but I'm willing to listen. But you should know I'm not trying to disrespect you while we're podcasting or interviewing a guest if I'm not asking outline questions. But I'll try to be mindful that you want segments done. And it's really like, to me, where even the disrespect, and again, y'all know how anal I am with time. So to me, the disrespect wasn't that I felt like you were intentionally disrespecting me. I just felt like my time was being disrespected because I'm working on an outline. And then I would love to look over yours and I'm not getting them early. So it wasn't that you were doing anything, but I literally brought that up in therapy and I was like, this feels so good that I'm not just sitting on this and now cycling in my head that Weezy just hates me and doesn't want to. And normally in the past, I've done that. And so I was just like, we've been potting a lot. We had a great time in Vegas. We even partied together with fucking Jeezy. We outside. And I'm like, this feels so good. Let me just let her know we're recording four more episodes. Can we do this? And like, I really appreciated that response because I was like, this makes me feel like if something is bothering me, now I can't come to you. And let's be very clear. We've talked about it in the past. We both just felt like, fuck, I hate this bitch. She ain't gonna listen. She ain't gonna respect what I have to say.
Oh, let me tell you something nice I said about you behind your back.
Ooh.
Because it's not often.
No.
So there's this moment in the club where I'm dancing with this nigga. And Mandy is recording us and said, I got you, bitch. Right? And
did I send it to you? I gave you all the content.
No, do it later.
I was recording her. Because you know, she be liking little stuff with her niggas. And I was like, okay, let me get her dancing with this nigga real quick.
So he said to me later that night, like, What was up with that? Like, because he doesn't even have an Instagram. He was like, what was up with that? Like, you know, with her saying, I got you to you. Because he knows that Mandy and I have had some beef in the past. I was like, Mandy's being playful in that moment. And I really feel that. I was like, Mandy and I, at least I could say this. If I know nothing, we're never going to out each other.
No.
And I was like, I hope Mandy knows.
Oh, girl, you know that wasn't going on the internet.
I know, but
I don't know that nigga like that.
How?
I be hiding my own niggas. I ain't going to post your niggas.
So I said, yo, Mandy and I have enough communication. And it's funny because I said to him, I might have said this verbatim. I can't fucking stand her, but I know this one thing. She not going to do that. And, you know, he doesn't know you well. So when Mandy say, I got you, bitch, I know Mandy's like, oh, I got you being booed up.
So that you could have it for memories.
Right.
Because I ain't going to be mad. I'll be mad that I ain't got a lot of, like, off, like, just photos and memories with my partner without us posing, like, when I'm out with my
friends,
but also like my friends love candid photos. So it's a thing that we do when we're all out. So we
would also goes back to, and I was using the word respect a lot. I'm like, listen, like we are really respecting of privacy.
Yeah.
I was like, I know names
as much as we talk about eating ass on this pod, baby. We private.
There's some shit we don't say. But you know, it felt good. And he was like, oh, okay, I'm glad that you feel that way and that you guys have that. And I was like, yeah, there's a lot of respect there. I was like, we, you know, it's like this. Oh, he told me when we were dancing to Jeezy together, he was like, oh.
You wretched
bitch. He was like, you're a city girl. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, that's Mandy. She, but no, I think that every relationship, just to wrap it, there's got to be some conversation again on how you like to be respected.
Yeah.
With Mandy's maybe timing.
Yeah, I'm working on what respect looked like right now with me and Mandy.
I don't think I knew either. And so in openness,
yeah,
it was so interesting to learn what I needed and liked. And like, obviously growing pains will happen. I haven't really had a big fight with him or anything. And I'm so scared. You know, when you hit a 6 month mark and you're like, oh my God, where the that's not wood. Knocks up. I don't know. Everything just seems like smooth sailing, but yeah, you kind of got to have a situation happen to learn. And so if it's not learning from your mistakes, you've got to maybe learn from your past traumas. So I don't know. I'm in between this. And I don't know what you think. Alex specifically tells me all the time, don't be telling these niggas how everybody fucked you up. Don't be dumping your trauma on niggas. Don't be telling them nothing.
I agree.
But.
Okay.
I realized talking about what Old Bay did to me has course corrected a lot of shit for this nigga.
Because
he's like, oh yeah, I know you don't like this, or I understand you've been lied to. Like, so some of it's helpful. I think there's a way you've got to do it, but I'm curious with you, because you've overshared on this podcast. I'm not saying that in a shady way, but like you.
Oh no, I'm an overshare, period.
Okay.
On everything.
So when dating now with new people, how much are you telling about your ex? And are you waiting until maybe there's some more rapport? Are you first date talking? What are you doing?
I that's the thing. And I think that's why I'm not dating. I don't know how to communicate, like even, you know, sharing the first time out with that nigga that wasn't a date. It was a hangout. But not knowing how to introduce my lifestyle or my friends anymore. And just, I don't know. I literally, and I think that's why I'm just putting my head down and working as much as I am right now, because it's something that keeps me from feeling like I have to sit with dealing with men. And I don't think I want to right now. I'm figuring out what being respected looks like to me after cutting 24/7 off, after not feeling respected in my last relationship. How do I demand that? But also, how do I show up to where I deserve that truth? And I think so for me, I'm just working on myself and that. I do believe, though, in not oversharing the ways in which people showed up in a relationship with you. Because if you put up with shit, like for me to say I broke up with this nigga 13 times,
that's a good point.
That man might think that he gonna have chances with me. So there's things that I do think you should not tell, because now this man is gonna think he's gonna be able to do it. To know that I stayed after knowing this nigga cheated or disrespected me or hung out with my friends behind my back,
yeah,
he might think that, oh, that's not a deal breaker for you then. And now it is. So I don't want to let him know the things that I actually did put up with, because he might think that I'm going to put up with that shit with his ass too. Mm. So I think I want to leave out my ex for a while, actually. But I do want to introduce the fact that the things that I did like when we traveled together. I really liked how we played and
you should keep doing
together.
That, bro.
I think it's
that's healthy.
To me, the healthy part of sharing about my last relationship is going to be the things that I really liked that I know I want again. That's going to be the oversharing.
Service.
Yep. So I'm going to tell him, he took my trash out. He was very thoughtful when my friends came. He said, do you need me to go pick them up from the airport? Do we need to? The things that I really liked about him are the things that I'm putting out into the universe that I want again and that I feel like I should get again. So that's what I'm sharing more than anything with the guys that I am talking about. Just so you know, he wasn't shit, but these were the things I really did like. And I don't go into why he wasn't shit.
I realized the biggest trauma I was facing with dating, I might have overcome this weekend, actually.
Mm-hmm. Which was what?
I did not feel comfortable when I turned my back with Obey. Like,
around anyone?
Anyone. Not friends, I feel like maybe he wouldn't.
Okay.
But
the fact that you put maybe he wouldn't try them, but maybe he would.
I just don't know, bro. Like, I just feel like if this was swapped, if one of your homegirls was like, I don't really fuck with Weezy like that, but hit me when you come to Vegas, I feel like Obey would be like, yeah. I feel like this nigga would be like, hell no. And I feel like he would say hell no because he knows, like, I don't want to make you look stupid. But Obey was just so sex-brained that sometimes he couldn't even...
All sex-brained.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
He couldn't look at women like... Or look at moments like, this is going to hurt this person.
Mm.
What also I think was the issue with him is he knew how much he loved me and that he wouldn't be in a relationship with someone else, right? So he thought that was all that I would need. She know I'm going to be with her. Nigga, you know if I'm going to be with you was a real thing.
Well, no, he thought that you just wanted a relationship.
And
so I'm just going to fuck
this
around.
This is our third trip together in just 2 months, right? We went to Mexico twice. And I'm not saying I didn't feel comfortable when I turned my back, but, you know, I'm like learning my trust. But for some reason this weekend, maybe because it was pouring awards too.
Girl.
I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, now I felt good. And especially the fact that, like, I know we were looking for a bitch, right? Because, not kidding, even in my relationship with Old Bay, looking for the threesome made me uncomfortable sometimes.
Damn.
Because I wanted pussy, but I thought, oh, if she don't want to fuck me, he'll try to figure out a time to fuck the bitch. Whereas I feel like in my newer dating experience with this person, I feel like they're like, if I want to fuck another bitch, I got 100 hoes that would want my dick. Like, why am I going to fuck this up right now in Vegas? Like, this is the goal. Like, I don't know. And yeah, I think I had so much trauma about being turned around and what's going on behind my back. Mm. Embarrassment and shame is something I was feeling a lot. And I also had a lot of moments where I was feeling triggered when you were going through shit. I remember your Rory and Maul episode when I was like, he did that to you? Mm. And there's these moments where I could maybe even judge you, like, why was she taken back? But then I look at myself like, why'd I take him back? And it's like, we always point the finger at someone else, but not really ourselves. And I should have been listening to the man that I was.
Oh, I ain't gonna hold you.
See,
I was like, ooh, not me joining all the women in DeLulu. Bitch, I was happily in DeLulu and knew it. And just, I didn't ask for advice either.
Love is a drug, bro.
I was gonna leave this nigga when I was ready gonna leave him, which is what I say all the time. Bitch, I'll tell my friends, girl, I don't want to hear about this nigga no more. You gonna leave him when you ready to leave him.
Mm.
And so for me, sharing it on the pod, I'm glad that y'all got to join me in DeLulu for so long. But to me, I understood that I was doing what most women do. I liked him. The dick was fine. He's so fine. I'm actually mad too. I was rating my fine niggas with my friends. That's what I was like, who the finest niggas you don't fuck? So we talking about these things. And I literally brought my ex up. I was like, I think he's top four. He tied with a nigga. But I was like, he like top four of, to me, the sexiest. And he's number one with sex.
He's not in the four that I know you fucked. I'm sorry.
We'll have to talk about this off air.
You loved him.
No. He, to me, was top four. Him, Green Eyes, 24/7. They're in the top. And then the other one, I call him Detroit on the pod. So I've mentioned my four finest niggas.
You're just talking about niggas you fucked, Mandy? You are DeLulu.
Okay, all right. Calm down. I don't know. Let's get into, I don't know what list you got over there, Rich. I don't know which niggas you know. Hold on. Oh, you know, we mentioned him. He's five. He's fine, but he's not top four or five. The first one you said, but then the first one you said is short. Bitch, he was like, he like 5'10". He not going to make my
girl, top. Your ex had no hair, babe.
He was bald. I like Mr. Clean Ho. Don't do me.
I ain't seen you fuck with a bald nigga before him.
There's a first time for everything.
Well,
let's get into our vanilla shit. And this actually may be me, where I'm going in my dating journey. This is from the New York Post. And a woman says that she is head over heels in love with an oak tree, but it isn't about sex. I think this is about to be me. I'm about to just find something I love.
I saw this too.
If you fall for a tree in the woods, does it make a sound? A self-proclaimed ecosexual bitch. I ain't even gonna hold you. I'm done with all these sexuals, all these goddamn titles. A self-proclaimed ecosexual took nature loving to the extreme after becoming infatuated with an oak tree, which she says fills her with erotic energy. I don't know how a tree make her pussy thump, but that's what she said. You get it? Thump. You see what I did there? Anyway, there was an eroticism with something so big and so old holding my back. She is a self-proclaimed ecosexual defined by, here come the ecosexuals, as a person who finds nature romantic, sensual, and sexy, and often imagines Earth as their lover. I ain't gonna hold you.
I'm tired of spiritual hoes.
That's what I was about to say. This remind me of you crystal rubbing, stargazing, zodiac loving bitches.
Why is it that these, you know what? Spiritual hoes are the new vegans for me.
Not the new, okay, in what way? Explain the
I had a problem with the vegans, and now y'all niggas weaning off. I'm gonna tell you what. I don't like
because I ain't gonna hold you. They only weeding off because they don't learn how to make these motherfuckers, that jackfruit tastes like oxtail, pulled pork, chicken. Bitch, I hated vegans at one point, but bitch, them things kind of.
I actually think vegans are starting to understand that the processed foods ain't really hitting.
Yeah, so now they just making fucking jackfruit taste like.
And everything. I have a vegan friend that was pregnant and they said, oh no, baby, you need something else. So all the vegans that are like, I even saw Vic Mensa like, plant-based ain't gonna make you gain weight. And it's like, even she was like, bitch, they had me say,
bitch, and
you need a little poultry, ho. Anyway, this is my problem with spiritual. I don't, actually, niggas too. The dudes are doing it now too. The Hotep niggas.
Oh no, they do.
The spiritual people online don't seem real to me because they're all selling it. And I don't believe that when something is that real and precious to you, you're going to fucking make so much money on it. Like, I just don't fucking believe it. Not saying I've never contributed to the culture and paid for a psychic or some shit, but I just believe that someone's spirituality constantly being shared online or for profit isn't a real thing.
Which, looking into this, she does have a self-intimacy guide, and she specializes in erotic storytelling. Which means there may be some way in which she's profiting off of even... Bitch, she's in the New York Post sharing.
Okay, well, I guess she knew the tree would get her.
So even the eyes on it, might be right, though.
But like, okay, for example, one of my homegirls was like, oh, let's go to this breathwork class. And I was like, okay, she's a woo-woo bitch.
Not a woo-woo.
And when I got there, the girl that was leading it gave hella, like, you know, oh my God, vibes, right? And I was kind of feeling it. I was like, oh my God, you got me in my bag. Like, my vibration is just feeling so this and that. So then... Of course, we all go out for drinks after. Not saying spiritual bitches can't drink, fuck, or do whatever they want. I'm not saying that. But she starts to vent. You know, she knows I work in talking about sex, whatever, sexpert, whatever you want to say. And like all of the insecurities that she was having in a relationship just started pouring out, and these things she was confused about and how she can't manage it. And I'm like, why don't you do some breath work, bitch? Why don't you? Like, how can, and I'm not saying, like, a therapist can't have a therapist, but there is a lot of the preachiness in spirituality on social media that is just not it for me.
I'm curious.
Liz Goldwyn is the most spiritual person I know.
Have you come across these spiritual type of women in dating? Like, okay, would a spiritual woman be a red flag for you? Like the girl who wakes up and has to burn the sage and rubber crystals. Oh my God, I got to charge them in the moon tonight. Oh my God, your rising star moon. What does that do for you in dating? Does it alarm you at all? Is it a red flag?
This happened last weekend.
What time were you born, Danny?
I went to the shorty's house and she had a whole little like a altar. Yes, in the back of her closet.
Wait, did she show you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay, I was gonna say, wait,
we about to judge you, bitch.
No, I'm not.
No, you're not gonna judge people with altars.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you why. My close homegirl, who's Dominican. And been practicing IFA since she was a child, does that.
Okay.
So I've never seen her post her altar on Instagram. I've never seen her fucking need to tell niggas this, this, and that. Like, I think that you can exist in that. That can be your religion. That can be your thing. I didn't know Beth or, well, Danny, it ain't Danny. How long we been working with Beth? I ain't know that shit about her.
But Danny, as a man, with you being the only one in the room,
yeah.
If women have those things, how did you receive that? What, did it turn you off? Were you inquisitive about it? How do you feel about that?
The way she made it, she explained it.
Was she black or left?
No, she was a white woman. Sorry.
Oh,
what?
Damn. I know, but
wow.
I know. I wasn't expecting that.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's 2024. I'm different. Anyway. but I love
your new me.
I know she was right. White with an altar?
I love black.
Satanic.
Yeah, it's giving. It's giving.
I'm sorry.
I ain't gonna hold you. I'm not literally different. Like, she not a bruja. She not Haitian. If she not a Zoe. It's not voodoo. A white woman with an altar.
Go ahead, tell us about the Wiccan.
Nigga, you about to be in the sucking place.
Hey, turn one of them cameras, Beth. Get it on him.
This is crazy.
It was like non-denominational. It was like Buddha. She was talking about Buddha, Jesus, and all that kind of stuff. So like it.
Not Buddha and Jesus.
That whole love
is lost.
I was worried at first, and then the way she explained it.
Who brought you to the sunken place?
I know, right?
She used the word offering?
No.
No, seriously. That's what altars are. You give an offering.
Oh.
Oh, I guess there was a little, yeah. It was very spiritual. I was worried at first, but the way she explained it, it wasn't as scary.
You know what? It's a good thing you always complain about. Oh, I guess it's not. You be talking about how you losing your hair. If a piece of that on the floor.
So are you going on a second date? Like, so it wasn't a red flag. You were like,
on
okay,
a second
cool.
date? He was at her house, so you fucked.
And what? The snort is a yes.
No, the eye covering.
Look, he like.
Yeah, bitch, I fucked this white bitch with an altar.
Get your life together. 2024
and is not your Instagram again. Comedian. You know, hopefully this you can put this part in one of your sets.
I ain't gonna lie, this needs to be a joke.
No, we do need to. I do want to shout out Danny Sellers real quick. Danny works here at WTF Media in LA, but I've always said when I saw his comedy special, I was like, damn, this nigga quitting soon. What's the name of your comedy special?
Pound for Pound.
It's shot really well and he's hilarious. Anyway, don't fuck with this nigga because he like white hoes.
No, in the closet.
I love black ladies. I don't know.
Black ladies. I like them. Just not right now.
Hold on. Can I ask you?
Yeah.
I have a friend that told me that right now he's only been wanting to fuck white girls. And I said, why? Ooh. And he goes, every time I meet a black girl, he's like, I'm not meeting like black girls and I ain't doing it in life. Like, I'm meeting black women at nice dinners or nice places. He's like, and a lot of them will kind of pressure, bro. Like, I'm not trying to be in a relationship. I just want some pussy. And these bitches ain't about to go for this shit with a nigga. Have you felt like dating white women maybe is less pressure?
I mean, I'm dating black ladies just as much. No, I'm not one of them.
He said, I'm dating. This ain't the only bitch I'm fucking. That's what he just
said. I didn't
say
that either. I like black ladies, honestly, preferably more. It's more of it's culturally. Can we get along culturally? And then create. You got to be a creator. You know, I'm a full-time creator. So it can't. It's hard to be with someone as a 9-to-5. It is. I don't have a 9-to-5.
I hear you, B. Simone.
Yeah, yeah.
D. Simone, let's go.
Fast. But isn't that interesting? Like,
That's crazy, though, what he just said. But it's kind of true, I guess.
Well, I think he's really just not wanting to, like, date. And he's like, and it could be this thing. And a lot of white women know it, too. I've had one or two white women tell me, like, oh, when I date black guys, they make it very clear, bitch, this is pussy.
That's crazy, though. I don't know if I like that stigma being on. I mean, I know it exists, but I hate that it does.
The white girl that I know that told me that, and it's funny because I wanted to feel bad for her, but I couldn't. And I
don't feel bad for
I know we people. Got white listeners listening to this podcast, but she was dating this dude and she was super into him. I was like, what happened? She was like, this sounds weird, but I think that he started to really get interested in me. And he had always talked about how his family would be weird if he brought home a white girl. And she was like, I think he just had to cut it because he don't want to be a white girl.
Oh, I ain't going to hold you. I know, like, black families that would rather you bring home a same-sex person and be gay than bring home someone white. Like,
yeah,
literally. Don't bring them crackers this way. That's what they be saying.
I've actually heard a new thing from someone African who said, his mama just said, don't bring home no American girl. Because they don't know how to treat men. And that other cultures apparently are better mothers.
Look, you over there. You agreeing?
No.
Oh, okay. No. You just look too like,
Like, I'm just switching the
he's
angles.
Like, I'm just working.
Oh, you were just
working. He's like, I'm just working.
But you know what? That's interesting, though, because when I was getting my hair braided in South Africa, which, by the way, I can't believe that shit was only $35. We were talking a lot about dating. And I actually don't know if I brought this up on Patreon with you, but I was curious to know if you've ever had, none of my homegirls that are African have maybe grown up or dated in Africa. Maybe they were born there or whatever.
Right.
So the girls were asking me about dating in America. And she was like, oh, do they call you bitch? Do they say this? They always seem so mean.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, and I was telling them how I was having a great experience dating an African right now. And so I was talking about something I cooked for him. And they were like, wow, you have a job and you cook? And like, and I was like, oh, maybe this is a thing. Because
okay. We
are such an independent, I'm independent, I got my own
we
shit
do.
Going, I'm, I.
But that's not the culture in many other countries.
Right.
Yeah.
So it must look like we ain't doing shit for niggas, which,
I mean,
you up until
it took a long time for me to even cook a meal, bitch. You better come over bed, bitch. Drop that nigga. Anyway, for today's episode, we have been having so many great guests on the pod that I wanted to get through some of these home mails. Because shit, we ain't been answering y'all's motherfucking
we
questions. And baby, we got a lot of them.
Fuck the guests, bitch. Even on our solos, we've been having too much fun. Like, what we at right now, Danny?
And
shit.
I'm like, shit, we got to. All right. We're going to get through a couple of these.
Yeah, we got.
So the first one is the threesome ultimatum.
Okay.
Which y'all know, it don't ever work. Y'all stop with the ultimatum. There's a whole show called Ultimatum, and it don't ever work for none of them motherfuckers. Don't give people an ultimatum. Just let them go on their merry way if they not give you what you want. But anyways, that's going to be my answer probably to this email. Let's see what they have to say. Hey, y'all. Here we go. I'm 23. Here we go. We're going to help you out, bitch. Hey, y'all. I'm a 23-year-old industry worker from New York and have been with my current boyfriend for 4 months after being just friends for 2 years. were very sexually active and have engaged in multiple threesomes in the past that weren't too enjoyable before we actually officially started dating. Now that him and I are dating, I kind of want him to myself and can't wrap my head around sharing him in the bedroom without giving a whole bunch of rules that he won't enjoy following. He thinks I just need to get more experience with women on my own so I can be more comfortable having a woman in the bedroom for a threesome or a foursome. But I think I just don't want to share him with another woman. Recently, he's told me that he doesn't see a relationship working out if I'm not willing to have another threesome. He doesn't even care who the girl is. He just wants to fuck me with another girl. I'm not sure what to do because I love him, but I'm also not about to compromise my boundaries and force myself to do something I don't want to do. Please help and be gentle. Y'all be doing weird shit. Love you guys and can't wait to read your book. This is an interesting one because I know that you've had a lot of threesomes.
You go first.
So I actually shared, I dealt with this in my last relationship, that we were going to the club so much and inviting so many people in that I think some of our connection with each other lost a bit. And we had so much fun being around other people. It became a conversation that I want to stop doing this. I want to stop bringing other people into the bedroom. And at the moment, I don't think he wanted to do it.
You said it became a conversation.
It became a conversation first because I was like, I think we need to pause on this. Not that it would never happen again, but we needed to take a pause. I don't feel like it was an ultimatum. And I think that maybe how she's looking at it, maybe right now, fresh into this relationship, she doesn't want to.
I'm going
to
give her the dialogue for that, right?
Okay.
I want to just snowball on this because what you're saying, you said, I can't do it. Maybe right now. There's moments where you open and you close your relationship.
Yes.
For me, I actually talked about this weekend when we were at Poppy's Steak. I was like, yo, I know this open shit we talk about a lot, but there are moments that I'm going to maybe possibly, you know, if we get into
it. Need you to myself.
Right. And so, and again, we're talking about what we would want our relationship to look like.
Yep.
Right. Like still kind of figuring out if it's a thing for us. And I said, pregnancy is one that I know for sure. Absolutely fucking closed. Right. That's a sacred moment.
It is.
There's so many times where I've thought about my friends in open relationships and how they've been able to feel. And also, I think there's moments of like even holidays. Right. This sounds super simple. But when I was with Old Bay, I remember holiday time, he would kind of like Art Basel's around Thanksgiving. My family used to live in Orlando. He'd kind of want his mom. And I'm like, damn, I'm just kind of in this like little cocoon right now. I don't necessarily know if I want to feel that. Like you are able to open and close your relationship. You know why? Because as the person that's in the relationship, you are the priority.
Yep.
If the person you're dating can't handle an open close situation, they may not be for you if that's what you need. And we're always feeling guilty about making someone feel stifled or making them feel like we're giving them boundaries. I know your ex talked about that, having rules where it's like, how could you even have rules when you've done all these things with Mandy? However,
I mean, rules and boundaries, though, are allowed and need to be enforced in open relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think I like that what you said. Open, closed relationships are open relationships, are ethically non-monogamous relationships. I think that people assume as soon as you join into the lifestyle, now you have to keep up with all this. No, it needs to be a constant conversation with your partner. Hey, let's take a break from this a little bit. You are allowed to do this. The same way we talk about dry January or like ways in which we sometimes like recluse or take away drinking or drugs or partying. That's the same when it comes to inviting other people into the bedroom.
Other energy is a lot.
It's a lot.
And when we were talking about a few weeks ago on the episode with Christina, where I was like, other people on dates and shit like that, bro, there's so many times where I've been in settings recently and I'm like, I just kind of want to be with you right now. I just want to be with you right now. And like, I need to leave or even maybe I need to be alone.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that we need to focus more on ourselves while in relationships, instead of so much thinking what will please my partner.
As
pleasers, which she sounds like she is.
She does.
You but gotta refocus.
She sounds like she's fighting it. She's like, he's gonna break up with me if I don't give him this, but I really don't want to do it. And I think that she just needs to maybe put a time frame on it. Because she could change. But in some time, if he's still pressuring her, maybe this
maybe
is
not even time frame. Just say, hey, I need to feel more comfortable.
Okay.
Because I don't want anybody.
I don't like to feel more comfortable because he's already suggested, well, maybe you just need to play with more women to feel more comfortable. Like he's even pressuring her to be with, you know what I mean? So she's just not in that space right now. So the conversation needs to be like, I would love to revisit this maybe in a couple months, but for the moment, can we really just enjoy each other? that's it.
Bro,
and if he's really not looking to just enjoy you by yourself, these other people may be having
let him find one of them.
Yeah.
What did someone say? I don't know if I've said it on this podcast, but I remember crying to a friend about how this guy said that I was too much or like, you know, my emotions.
Girl, I've been told that's,
and she said, oh yeah, you know what you need to say to him the next time? You doing too much? Find someone that does little. I am too much. I do a lot for you. I bring a lot to the table. Maybe you need to find someone that is smaller, that does little.
Women need to be okay with just walking away from someone who does not fit them.
But also, the power in being able to not be scared of when you need things. Like, you can't tell him this and be like, I'm scared you're going to break up with me. You need to have your chest high because when women are confident and know what they want, it's better received.
And if he really wants you, he going to see that you're putting your foot down and he not going to want to lose you. He going to sit here and bend. It's not going to be the ultimatum.
Now, what I would tell you is if threesomes is the only spicy sex you're having, that is a problem.
Yeah.
If sex clubs is the only spicy sex, which you were telling us other things.
Oh, girl, we did sex toys. We did a whole bunch.
But that's my point.
Yeah.
If the sex club is the only thing you do that's spicy, that's a problem. Anybody listening, like, you cannot have one dimension with your kink shit, right? For example, this is a true story. I have a friend of mine that's very into masochism. Like, she wants to fucking be hit, closed fist and stuff. And she told me that it's been a little bit difficult for her because she's like, girl, I wanted to go to work. But, like, she can handle pain, like, truly. And she said she kind of had a little bit of a shift recently where it was making her feel a little shitty. She's been with her partner a long time and they live together. But she was like, bro, that's the type of sex we have when it's wild. And now I don't even know what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
And so she's like looking for new shit. And I think that we can't have only one lane. So I would definitely say trying introducing something new that you've never done.
I agree.
Maybe he pees on.
That's simple. This next letter is from a male listener. All right. What's good? I'm a truck driver, so I had plenty of time to listen to all of your episodes. I can't tell y'all how much I appreciate the work. The podcast you built is fun, it's honest, it's educational. Thank you. I've learned so much from y'all, not only in the obvious sense, it's a sex pod, but documenting your growth as businesswomen, especially in partnership, is so valuable to anyone trying to make shit shake. One of my biggest regrets is not getting on stage in San Francisco. Anyway, the reason I'm writing is I'm talking to a high net worth individual.
I know that's right, bitch.
She has an important job that has her flying to different parts of the world and a personal business that deals in money I've never seen. She's older and cool as hell in the nerdy way. She's spicy white, Eastern European, and lives in London. I definitely have my insecurities, but she started dropping the L-bomb after 4 to 5 times meeting in person in like 3 years. I started saying it back. I don't know if it's real or just something to say, but I definitely like her. This is getting long, so I'll skip to the point. Recently, she asked if I would meet her in Africa during one of her business trips. Wheezy, would you take your first trip to the motherland with a white? Mandy, now that you have money, would you pay the upfront cost for a man to be flued, to be reimbursed? Y'all are fire. Signed, a nigga in the scarf. So he's asking if you would go to Africa with a white person and asking me if I would front the money to pay for him to come and he reimburses me later.
Ooh. Okay, hold on. Let me explain here. This is very interesting.
Okay. Oh.
So Mandy's been after Africa a few times. I've only been once just now, right? It's only to South Africa. However, I thought this was a woman writing about a lesbian relationship.
Oh. And
when you said signed a nigga, at first I was like, oh, you're a girl
in the scarf.
You're a black girl going with a white girl to Africa. Whatever, you brought your friend.
This is a black man dating a white woman. Yes.
The temptation. The temptation. I'll say this. I went to Africa with my friend because he was on tour. And Mandy has talked about going to Africa with her friends because they're linked
up. Well, and that's the thing. He didn't say what part of Africa, I don't think.
Right. But I wanted to just make this point.
Yes.
Going to Africa with an itinerary is kind of cool because you're kind of like, oh, all right. Like, I'm assuming she's got the hotel figured out or whatever. Like, something about that, it's so far that it was easy. Like, my first time going to Tokyo, like, I remember being like, whoa, I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing here. Like, why didn't I make plans? I'm like Googling on the plane. I do think it's good when you're going to a big new place to go with someone that kind of has a bunch of shit to do that's already lined up, if that's the case. I guess if the trip is free.
I'll be honest, we're talking about, so Africa is a continent, we know, we don't need y'all hopping in the fucking thing.
Oh, also.
To me, South Africa with a white woman
is easier.
Is easier than like Ghana, Nigeria, Senegal, like these are other places I've been. You going with a white person to these places?
That's a good point.
Is she not going to build a village for these niggas or something? What is she going there for? I need to know what she going for. Are you going to help the people? Otherwise, if you just go in there as a colonizer or something, South Africa might work out. What? I can't say that. What? That's what they be going over there for. Make them feel better. I'm just saying, what is the reason that she's going? You know, the white guilt, you know what I mean? So it depends because Ghana.
I feel like my wig just got pulled back.
Well, I'm saying that too because Ghana, bitch, I was the lightest person that I saw in Ghana.
Mm.
Like in Nigeria, there's a difference in. I didn't
also,
see white people.
You know
in
what
the
I wanted to mention
that I've been in.
So I was telling, we were hanging out with just a lot of friends, right? And this is like December in Johannesburg, so just mix and match and talking. And I was saying to this black girl, like, bro, I've been seeing so many interracial couples here. And like in the States, me and my homegirls be shading them and shit low key when we see like lit niggas with a white girl. And it's just, sorry, it's kind of something we do. It is, man.
It is what it is.
But she said
sorry,
to me.
Sorry, Danny, we're still judging you too.
But anyway, these white girls know we do that shit.
I know, but yeah.
She said something I found so interesting. She said, Weezy, apartheid just ended.
Yeah, no. I learned about all that
shit. She said, a lot of these black men are just fucking these white girls because they're like, you goddamn right, I'm fucking this white bitch. She's like, they have a really big power trip. She said, in the States, it's an allegiance and an alliance to wealth. She said, here, they actually feel like they're a conqueror. They feel more like fuck you to white people when they date white people.
Interesting.
She said, so the reasoning and the oppression that black men had, not saying black men, obviously we know right, Emmett Till, hello.
Yeah.
But she's like, you know, it was something we saw in our lives. Whereas it's a little older for you. And she's saying that it's a different thing. So I think you're right. That's a great point. In South Africa, probably not. Anywhere else, I don't know. But if the trip is free, I would always want a free trip.
Well, no, that's what it seems like, too. He brought out being flued out. Like, now that you have, would you pay the upfront cost and be reimbursed?
Yeah.
So he's now, so no, I'm not going to hold you. I'm not going to, if I'm going to fly a nigga out, a part of me would be more turned off to feel like he got to set up a payment plan to pay me back.
I mean, he already like, seems like he knows that. But
that's what, no, to me, like the reimbursement to me will not happen.
My homeboy told me he does that because he's like, hey, these bitches be having miles and shit. I ain't about to fucking type in your TSA pre-check. I'll send you the money. How much is the flight?
Yeah, no. No. I'm thinking of he's like,
getting there.
Like to me, I'm not flying a nigga out. I though will tell somebody.
Well, this one will.
Right, but like, so what I'm saying is that's not so. He asked me this question, so I'm answering. I'm not telling the nigga to reimburse me. That's corny. So to me, I always ask a guy, especially now that I do have money, the hotel is covered. I might pay for a dinner while you're out with me. I'm gonna look out while you're with me. Girl, I invited Green Eyes to come. I'm like, well, pull up to New York. You could stay with me. I'll cook. I'll feed you. If we go out, I'll cover it. But I'm not booking. I'm not paying for no nigga flight.
Well, one other thing I wanted to say actually was. I don't know. If you have the extra funds and you want to, fine. If the trip is free, I would definitely do it. But the other little caveat I had was, if you don't get that much time off, that's a big trip. Don't use your only big trip on someone that you don't know how
you're going to have it. Doesn't seem like you don't even...
On your big first
trip. You like her, but you don't love her.
Yeah.
Because
when I was working in 9 to 5...
She said, say that PTO.
I had to be very particular about my trips. And that was a lot of the shit I would say. I'd be like, I ain't about to waste 3 days, 4 days with this nigga when I could be with... You
By
know.
The way, y'all got to look up the trips or the trip tips now for PTO. Every year there's a TikTok and they'll let you know how to take the least amount of time off for the most amount of days based around the holidays that are happening. So like, oh, take take a half day here or like more.
Because it changes at the weekends.
Yep. The holidays where sometimes Fridays and Mondays are off. They'll say use a Wednesday and use a Tuesday so you could have this many days off. So look that up. It's online. So this is going to be our last one for today, and then we'll get to them gay niggas after I edit it and revise it and shorten it. Because what the fuck? Y'all, if you send in your whole mail to horribledecisions@gmail.com, can we limit it to 3 paragraphs, baby? When I say paragraphs, that's 3 to 5 sentences, okay? We're taking it back to language art.
Yes, to the one with the boring boyfriend, your mail was long, but we'll get to it.
Yeah, we just got to edit it a little bit. All right, this one comes from, they are asking for advice. Advice for a traumatized horny virgin. Dear Weezy and Mandy, first off, I want to let you know, don't be mad, that I discovered you guys my freshman year of high school, and I want to thank you guys. Oh, Lord.
That's okay.
I come from a household that made sex a
just
very...
Just let us know you had sex before you listen to the podcast, well, and I'll feel better.
She's a virgin still, okay. It seems like. I come from a household that made sex a very shameful thing, as there was a generational pattern of teen and young pregnancies and abusive partners, which led to an overarching idea that wanting a man was a bad thing.
Come on, overarching. She's a smart girl.
It got to the point where I felt guilty just kissing my boyfriend at the time. But your podcast became a safe space for me to learn about and explore my sexuality. Now, I recently turned 18 and graduated high school as a junior. And guess what? No babies. I also still a virgin, but have had multiple relationships where we've done everything up to sex.
So our podcast doesn't make you bitches fuck.
I love it.
We need to clip that.
I know.
You heard the virgin. That, listen.
I love this year.
Since high school.
However, I am now ready to explore that chapter in my life. But alas, the men I seem to attract are assholes. In every relationship, I've ended up feeling used, as I'm very much a people pleaser and giver, and don't know how to give up that part of myself without wondering if they only want me for my body. In a couple of episodes, you guys have talked about how some of the most successful relationships have started out with sex on the first night, but given my history with guys, the fact that I can't even have sex and don't know how to have it, and the negativity built around it, I don't know how to let that part of myself go, especially in early stages of a relationship. Any advice would be great. I know I'm young and have many people yet to meet that could change my mind, but that part of myself already feels closed off when I was just starting to feel ready to explore it. I don't want to feel completely shut down from sex already and be stuck living vicariously through the smut I read. Thank you for taking the time to read this. P.S. You also inspired me to start a podcast of my own with my best friend. So glad to see how far you've come, and thank you guys for the help you don't know you've given me already.
She not going to name drop that pod.
And she didn't name drop the pod.
She really wants the answer. I think you have to get away from the idea that penetration is this crazy big experience and that your virginity is tied to the sacredness. I'm not trying to downplay virginity, but the reason that I am in this particular instance is because you said you've done everything but with partners.
Yep.
And then you said they were all assholes. Girl, that's enough. You suck some dick, that's enough. What I would recommend to you.
Well, oral sex is sex, so maybe she ain't sucked a dick. She said everything up to sex. And oral sex is sex. We talked about it.
I mean, but if kissing has made her feel guilty, a lot of these things, right?
You're right.
So you've given that part
all
up.
All the hand jobs and shit.
So it's like,
right.
Maybe you are putting way too much pressure on sex itself. I have a celibate friend, as we know, Brianda, and she doesn't do any of that, right? Kissing is it. So that's why I can say that a lot of these, this is like, you know, whether you're getting naked, things like that. I know she is having trouble dating or finding someone or talking to someone about it because there's a lot of parameters around her celibacy. For you, I think what you need to have happen to you is have sex with someone that makes you feel comfortable and safe, even if you never see them again. I think letting that person know you're a virgin, I know there's some maybe scenarios where people just, we've had people in the 30s or 40s even write into us about their virginity. I'm like, bitch, just get over it, right? With you particularly, being that you're younger, and you've got some, what it seems to be, is a little bit of religious trauma and shit like that. Mm-hmm. I think you need to be very clear that your experience your first time and that you want to be respected during that time. Like, you don't want someone to maybe dash you away. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want them to stay with you maybe that night. Like, aftercare and kink is going to be necessary. Like, aftercare
there's
after you have sex.
A lot of things that are involved with
so,
sex. Yeah.
I think once you find someone comfortable with, maybe a friend that you flirt with, but it can't be this big old thing in your head because the things that you've already done are kind of already a big deal, I think. Like, you still had some form of it. So I would just make sure that the person you sleep with, you said they've been assholes. Maybe you also have to have lesser expectations. I know Brianda particularly wants a relationship or marriage, right? If that's not what you're looking for, be clear that you just want a good person or someone that makes you feel comfortable and safe. So, yeah. Because if you want a relationship until you have sex, that motherfucker may disappoint you even then. So I think making sure that the experience itself is safe and comfortable is more important than the attachment to that person to you. As someone that's been sexually assaulted and someone that's had men not necessarily treat them the nicest, I've always enjoyed the experiences where men are respectful versus I've had this title or this rapport.
Yeah.
I can meet a nigga on the first night that'll do me right. You know? Like, you've got to make sure that you're getting that vibe.
I mean, to me, this goes into something that wasn't, I guess, my mind wasn't ready for it. To me, you're traumatized. You need to go to therapy and work through that and get over it. If kissing still makes you uncomfortable, I don't think just fucking a guy who might show up is nice is going to be the answer to that.
I think she used to feel guilty from kissing, but no, I agree.
It says still? It makes her feel uncomfortable. Yes, that's what she just said. So to me, like, and it didn't say that even the things that she went up to sex made her feel away. She didn't share those details. There's a lot of things that we could ask if, you know, she called in. Like, well, did those other things make you feel uncomfortable? To know that you felt uncomfortable with kissing, I think there's an exploration for you to have in therapy first. But also, maybe it's men. I would actually say...
Oh my God, I was just going to say, you need some good men friends.
No, that's not what I was going to say.
Oh, I think you got to see a decent man.
No, my thing was going to be, maybe women will make you feel safe. Maybe you should maybe see sexually if exploring with a woman might be what will make you feel comfortable. Have you kissed a woman before and did that make you uncomfortable? Have you been able to feel safe with women? Like, maybe you're trying to force yourself, knowing again the traumatic experience, if it's a religious thing, maybe you're forcing yourself to be straight now, and you just don't like
men.
We
said we ain't taking... I don't know. People know if they have an... Maybe she would even brought up if she had an attraction.
But she's also young and grew up in... No, I think that a lot of those things, if you grow up in church, you're taught that that's not something you should do. So maybe right now she's convincing herself, losing my virginity to men, to know that they're all assholes and she hasn't felt safe and no one has made her feel wanted or respected, and kissing a nigga made her uncomfortable. Bitch, maybe you don't like men.
If dating women doesn't work, here's my final thing. The reason I said good men friends is because you're at an age, mind you, Mandy and I are 10 years your senior, right? Those men in college and that age, they're really bad.
Yeah.
I know that you've been listening to this podcast for a long time, so you know it doesn't get better, but it definitely gets better than the niggas in college. Yeah,
these niggas
don't get
better, girl, so you better figure this shit out now.
Like, being assholes, I actually talked about this with my boy Andre Power recently. Andre's almost 40. And I was like, bro, I haven't really dated like a shitty. Like, I've been dating guys that, you know, they'll get my car.
Girl, Obey was shitty.
No. I'm saying like the treatment, like when you're going on the dates, and like, I haven't really dated a guy who's
an asshole.
Yeah. And he was like, I wonder if it's age. Or maybe it's where you meet them. Like, he's like, because yeah, he's like, you know, girls maybe when I was younger told me like, oh my God, you're so nice. He was like, but now like, bitches expect a good nigga, right? And so I say,
nah, they don't. Because when a nigga too nice, then they lame. Then they corny. Like,
so many rules.
Women actually want, but like,
I think you need an example of some good men friends. I think platonic relationships could actually be a little bit safer for you. And I think maybe even a male friendship could guide you with some of this. Because sometimes the problem with talking to other women is that they're a sounding board for like everything going wrong with men. We do that, especially when we're in a bad fucking... How many episodes have we had where we're like, nigga, that shit? Oh, maybe all of them. But
like that.
Ooh, this whole thing is contradiction. I actually think you need good male friends, for real. That has really helped me a lot in my healing.
How does that help her to have sex?
Because if your only relationships with men are romantic ones, and you all think they're assholes, you need to start looking at men in a different way. You're
seeing nice friends, yeah.
And I think that could help.
I did that to one of my friends on New Year's. I literally hit him up and was just like, thank you for being a friend and
seeing
me. And like, when I enter room, when I'm around you and he's mega star, like dope. When I sit at a table, he like boasts about all the things that I do. And I just know he like values me as a person. And in this space that I'm at now where romantically, I don't know what I'm doing, I literally just hit him like, thank you. Thank you for knowing that I'm deserving of receiving that from a male. Like, I literally, that's what I wrote him. I was high on shrooms,
but I mean, the shrooms got you to unlock that part of your emotionalness, right? And I think that like that shit is valuable. I really appreciate good male platonic friendships, relationships. I think we all need one. I recently had Alex's girl tell me that she was so grateful that he had me in his life, because she's like, oh my God, there's so many times where we've gotten in a little argument. I've thought to myself like, oh, I know Weezy ain't gonna agree with this shit. And he probably gonna call her for, you know, she's like, I think it's really good that men have a decent homegirl in their life.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to that. So Mandy says he's a pussy. I said,
did I say eat pussy now? Hold on now. Okay, just I ain't say go and eat pussy. I just say kiss a woman and see if you feel uncomfortable. And if you don't, maybe that's the direction you might need to go.
Just kiss.
Damn. I ain't pushing that bitch into lesbianism now. Calm down.
Well, you're here.
I mean, close.
And so we've...
introduce yourself.
All right. We told y'all where to find us in London. But we also have had so many new and fun changes to Patreon. So if you want to see our new series, if you want to see our actual video on Patreon, which we now have, please head on over to patreon.com/horrible decisions. There's also a video that'll be on the page that'll explain our new tiers, what it brings, what you'll get included, and we're making it more simple.
A whole lot of shit, baby. Anyways, y'all, this has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions.
Bye.
Bye.